What did you get for Christmas? It's probably the most frequently asked question today, isn't it? Around the world, what did you get for Christmas? Christmas time is for getting presents. It's fun to get presents. I enjoy getting presents. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting presents. It's fun. I can remember when my boys were young, Christmas Sears catalog used to arrive around late October, you remember? I don't know whether they still mail those things out or not, but they would go through that thing. I mean, they'd pore over that thing, memorize it, fight over it, you know, who's going to get it next, and make their lists and then revise them and then re-revise them again. And because it's fun to get presents at Christmas time. And I don't think that's wrong to enjoy getting presents. But I have to tell you, things changed. Well, it was a while, though. I mean, they grew older. The first Christmas day was, you know, all these presents under the tree. What a sight it was. And you know what was going through their minds, don't you? Did you see this, for better or worse, cartoon? I don't know whether you can see that up in the balcony, so I'll read it to you. Look at their faces, John. They can't believe they see all those presents. I wonder what precious thoughts are running through their minds. I wish it was all for me. And off came the wrappings, you know. And then Dennis the Menace. Is that all, he says? I have to tell you, folks, that's the way it was in our house for quite a while before it changed. It isn't all getting anymore in our house. It's different. As the boys grew older, they got as excited about what they were going to give us and give each other as what they were going to get. Because, you see, their love began to mature, and love gives. I know that some people give gifts at Christmas time simply because they know somebody's going to give it to them, and they don't want to be embarrassed, so they have one for, you know, to give them back. They usually keep it tucked away till they get there so they don't have to give it if they didn't really get one, you know. But there are some people like that. But the normal reason people give gifts at Christmas time is because they care about us. They love us, and they want us to be happy. Even people in the world who don't know the Lord, who don't care anything about the birth of the Savior, they want to show each other how much they care, and so they give gifts, and they see Christmas as the time of giving. And they give to show they care. But unbelievers do miss something at Christmas time. They can't fully enjoy giving because they don't really understand why Christmas is the time for giving. They don't understand the reason for it. As you well know, who came here this morning on Christmas Day to worship the Lord, it's because God gave to us. It's God's nature to give. There's a story from World War II that illustrates that. Shortly after the war ended, Europe had the unpleasant task of putting all the broken pieces back together again. And one of the saddest sights of all was that of the little orphan children starving in the streets of the cities. Early one morning, an American soldier was making his way back to his barracks in London, rounded a corner in his jeep, and saw a little fellow standing with his nose pressed against the window of a pastry shop. And inside, the baker was kneading dough for a fresh batch of donuts. The hungry boy stared in silence, you know, watching every move. So the soldier pulled over to the curb in his jeep, and he stopped, and he sat there a minute, and he watched him. Then he got out, and he walked over, and he looked through that steamed-up window, and he could see those mouth-watering morsels as they were being pulled from the oven, piping hot. And the boy kind of salivated, you know, and groaned a little as the baker put them in that glass-covered case, counter case, so carefully. And the soldier's heart just went out to this little orphan fella as he stood there beside him. And finally he said, "Son, would you like some of those?" And the boy was startled. He says, "Oh, boy, how would I?" So the soldier went in, he bought a dozen, put them in a bag, brought them out, handed them to the boy, said, "Here you are." And he turned to walk away, and before he got two steps, he felt a tug on his coat. And he looked back, and he looked down, and he heard that little fellow say, "Mister, are you God? Are you God?" See, it's God's nature to give. It really is God-like to give. That's something we often forget about at Christmas time. Now, it can be with false motives. We can give with the wrong motives. But generally speaking, it's God-like to give. God is the greatest giver of all. He gives us life and breath and health and strength and family and friends and food and clothing, shoes. Aren't you glad you have shoes this morning? Right? Some kids got some new shoes today. The Apostle Paul reminded us that God gives us all things freely to enjoy. All things. And when we think of what we got for Christmas this year, it might be a good idea to include some of those blessings like family and friends, and like health and strength. They're so much more important than any gifts that were under the tree today. So much more important. There was a fascinating story in the Escondido Times Advocate Christmas Story Contest a few years ago. And I clipped it out, didn't know the gentleman who wrote it, but it's a story about a fifth grade class taught by a Mrs. Underhill. And it was the last day before the Christmas holidays. And as most fifth grade classes on that day, the kids were wild. And Mrs. Underhill just couldn't settle them down. So she finally got them to quiet down by promising that they could each tell about their most favorite Christmas. And they began. Cindy was first. She said, "My favorite Christmas is when I got a Cabbage Patch doll from my mom and $10 from my Uncle John. Except my parents made me put the money in the bank." And some of the students snickered, you know. Steve was next. He told how his family had rented a condo at Lake Tahoe the previous year. He told about skiing and playing in the snow and doing all kinds of exciting things. But Mrs. Underhill politely cut him off when he started talking about the casinos and how much money his father had won. Yeah. One student after another told of all the presents they had received, and every story seemed to get bigger and better. And Mrs. Underhill was getting a little bit discouraged with all this because it seemed to be losing sight of what this was all about. So finally she asked a quiet boy named Patrick about his favorite Christmas. He stood up and he paused a long time, and then he began to speak. He said, "The best Christmas I ever had was when my mom and dad were still married to each other. We had Christmas at our house that year. My sister was still living at home then, and my brother came over for a while. Grandma and Grandpa came down from up north, and we were all glad they did because Grandpa died a few months later. Mom made a real good dinner, and while we ate, Grandpa told us stories about when he was growing up in the farm and how tough it was. He was real old, but he made everybody laugh. My mom and dad didn't get into a fight all day. It was great. After we finished eating, we sang some Christmas songs. And Grandpa made up words because he couldn't remember the real ones. And we really laughed then. Grandma tucked me in that night. And her and I sang Happy Birthday to Jesus. Grandma said she loved me. And then she kissed me goodnight. That was the last time we were all together at one time. I slept good that night." Patrick sat down, to the silence of his fellow students. A few of them sniffled quietly. Sherry finally broke the quiet. She said, "But what did you get for Christmas?" Patrick looked up calmly and smiling, and he said, "I just told you. I just told you." See, the love of family and friends is one of the most precious gifts God has ever given. And if you got that for Christmas today, you got one of the finest things in life. One of the very best. The love of family and friends. But God's given us something even better than that. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He gave his Son. And in his Son, He gave us life, eternal life. The Bible says, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Think of it. Eternal life. And it's a gift. A gift to those who are willing to turn from their sin and believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son who died in their place and paid for their sin. And then put their trust in him for forgiveness of sins. God gives them the gift of eternal life. See, when they put their trust in him, the Lord Jesus himself comes into their lives in the person of his Spirit. And they who have the Son of God have eternal life, the Bible says. Because he is life. They have him personally living in them. And they have the gift of eternal life. That's the primary reason we give to each other at Christmas, you see. To celebrate the greatest gift of all. God's gift of eternal life in his Son. That's why we give presents to each other. Garfield stickers, shoes, and everything else that we're given this Christmas. Because we want to celebrate the greatest gift of all. God's gift of life in his Son. And you know, to get gifts from each other, when we have yet to receive the greatest gift of all, is rather empty and hollow. A couple of years ago, I clipped this cartoon from a Jews for Jesus prayer letter. Moshe Rosen has a knack of putting his finger on things. Let me read it again. These two fellows are counting the money in their bank, and one says, "That's $51. Now that should get my brother a... No, now what should I get my brother for Christmas?" he asks. So his friend says, "How about a Bible? A leather-bound one." "Oh, no, I can't do that. He doesn't believe that the Bible is the Word of God." "Oh, well, how about a wall hanging that says Jesus saves?" "Well, he's not sure he really believes in God. And he certainly doesn't believe Jesus is God's Son. He just thinks Jesus was a nice prophet." "Well, if he doesn't believe in God or Jesus, why does he celebrate Christmas? What does he believe in?" "He believes in getting a day off from work and getting presents." Getting a day off and getting presents. Kind of sums it up for some people, doesn't it? But I have to tell you, days off will soon be forgotten. I mean, probably in a week or so, you'll forget that you had tomorrow off, if you had tomorrow off. And the presents you got will be worn out soon. Even shoes wear out, you know, a year or so, and you'll need another pair. But the present that God gives, the gift that he gives, lasts forever. It's eternal life. If you never received it, this would be a great day to do it. The day we exchange presents to each other would be a good day to receive God's present to us. The gift of eternal life in his Son. It's the greatest Christmas present you'll ever get. But there's one more thing we ought to mention. Since we've gotten so much from God for Christmas, you know, it might be a good idea to consider giving God something for Christmas. I mean, after all, it's his Son's birthday. Catherine Marshall tells a story of a Western town where there was a little mission church. And it was the custom there on Christmas Eve to set up a nativity scene in this old Western town. Set it up on Christmas Eve for the services the next day. So early Christmas morning, the pastor went to see that all the figures were in place for the first service. And he was horrified to discover that the figure of baby Jesus was missing from the straw in the manger. He looked everywhere and he couldn't find it. He was kind of frustrated, and so he turned to leave the church. As he crossed the sidewalk, he was almost run over by a little boy racing a red wagon along the sidewalk. It was Pierre, the baker's son. Pastor smiled and started to say something when he noticed in the red wagon the missing figure of the Christ child. "Pierre," he said, "it was you. You took the baby Jesus. Why did you do that?" And Pierre kind of hung his head in shame as the pastor continued to scold him and question him, why did you do that? Finally, Pierre spoke. He said, "Well, it was like this," he said. I wanted a red wagon for Christmas, and I prayed. And I asked Jesus to let me have a red wagon, and I promised him if I got one, I'd give him a ride in it. He says, it's his birthday, you know. The pastor kind of smiled, and he said, oh, I'm sorry I scolded you, Pierre. That was good. He said, I didn't understand. And you are right. It is his birthday, and that was a wonderful present that you gave him. See, Christmas is a time for giving back to God. And there's something very special that you can give him that's even more special than a ride in a red wagon. In appreciation for what he's done for you and what he's given you. Particularly for the gift you have of eternal life and forgiveness of sins in his Son. The Apostle Paul tells us what that gift is. In Romans 12:1, he says, I beg you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Give your body to God, and that includes your mind and your heart and your soul and your will and everything you are and everything you have. Give it to God. Yield it to him. Lord, I want you to take my life and use it any way you see fit. I want to do what you want me to do, and I want to go where you want me to go. And I want to obey your word, and I want to live for your glory and your praise rather than for my own benefit. I want to invest my life in the way you want me to invest it, to do your will and to bring glory to you. My, what a tremendous Christmas present that would be, to give that present back to God. You know, that decision could make this the most meaningful Christmas of your entire Christian lifetime. The most important decision of your life was when you received Christ as your Savior. I know some people made that decision on Christmas Day. And they got that gift from God. It was the most important day in their lives. But I tell you, the most meaningful Christmas for you as a believer could be the day you say, God, I'm tired of living my life the way I please. I know it's not going to bring me any satisfaction, and it certainly isn't going to bring you any glory. Here's my life. I give it to you. I yield it to you. What a tremendous Christmas present that would be. And God's going to get something for Christmas if you'll do that. Something that will bring great joy to his life and heart and rejoicing in heaven. It'd be a great Christmas, wouldn't it, if some folks right here this morning received God's gift of eternal life, and if some believers in this audience this morning yielded their lives to the Lord Jesus to live for his will, his glory, and praise. It'd be a great Christmas. Let's bow our heads and our hearts together in his presence. I think it would be fitting if we just took a moment and gave you the opportunity to make either of these two decisions if you need to. Maybe you're not a believer in Jesus Christ. Maybe you just have never expressed to God your faith in him, your trust in him, your belief that he is God's Son, died in your place, paid for your sin. If you've never made that decision, would you do it right now? Just in the quiet of your own soul, right where you sit. My, what a wonderful Christmas this would be. Just talk to him. Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me, paid for my sin. Come into my heart and save me, Lord Jesus. If you're genuine, if you really mean what you say, in that prayer, commitment and faith, Jesus Christ will save you. He'll change your life. He'll make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Christian, have you been holding some area back from him? Something in your life you know that he wants you to do, or someplace he wants you to go, or somebody he wants you to talk to, but you've been resisting him. Yield your will to him right now. Present your body to him, will you? Father, thank you that we can gather on Christmas Day and celebrate the birth of our Savior. Thank you for your great gift to us. Thank you for the privilege of giving back to you. And forgiving to each other. What a joy that is today. Lord, make it a glorious day. Glorious most of all because some today receive your gift of life and give to them the gift of their bodies, their lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.